I'm very pleased to introduce you all to Cynthia Linville, who I have on the live line. Cynthia Linville is a former pupil of Dennis Schmitz, who's also been on this radio show, and she's taught in the English department at California State University, Sacramento, since 2000. She's active in the local poetry scene, occasionally hosting readings for The Crocker, at The Vox, at the Sacramento Poetry Center, and reading with the group Poetica Erotica. She also reads her own poetry. She served as poetry editor of Poetry Now from 2008 to 2010, and she continues to serve as managing editor of Convergence, an online journal of poetry and art. Cynthia Linville regularly contributes her poetry to the Sacramento News and Review, Medusa's Kitchen, and WTF. Her book of collected poems, The Lost Thing, is now available from Cold River Press. She's a music aficionado with a theater background, and she's usually found supporting the arts in Sacramento and the San Francisco Bay Area. But right now, she's ours. Cynthia Linville, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Great to have you here, and congratulations on your new book, The Lost Thing.
Thank you. I'm very excited about it.
Tell me about the process of collecting poems for this particular book. Were those collected from unpublished works, from works in journals, from works in chapbooks? How did that process work?
Most of the poems in the book were published in local poetry journals. A few are appearing in the book for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on that collection for about 5 years through the help of several different writing groups. And I had tried it out in different formats, first as a couple of chapbooks, and then finally as a full-length manuscript.
Terrific. Good for you. What are some of the themes that one finds explored in your book, The Lost Thing?
Well, the book is about different kinds of loss. It's about loss of love, certainly, but it's also about loss of friendship, death, and even loss of places. But hopefully, the turn of the book is uplifting at the end because loves are lost and then they're found again.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, it sounds terrific. The Lost Thing, it's available from Cold River Press. Tell me about Cold River Press. How was it that you chose them or they chose you for this particular collection?
They chose me. I was very fortunate. Cold River Press is out of Grass Valley, and it's been going for over 2 decades. And Dave Bowles, who's the publisher there, also runs the poetry series at The Shine every other Wednesday night, and that's where I'm reading tonight. And he produces Primal Urge magazine, and he had accepted one of my pieces for Primal Urge, and he heard me read at Shine a few times. And he said, "You don't have a book? Let me do your book."
That's great. He's a real dynamo and a welcome addition to the poetry scene. I know that he had been traveling for years, often by motorcycle. But now he's really done a lot to jumpstart the local poetry scene. And you had mentioned The Shine. Let's remind folks that you'll be reading at the, I think it's sometimes called Poetry with Legs reading series at the Shine Cafe. And that's at 14th and E Street in Sacramento?
That's correct, 7:30 tonight.
And that's at 7:30 tonight, and there's an open mic after that. So a great opportunity to see you read along with Anna Sproul. Is Anna Sproul someone who you've read with before?
No, I've never met her.
Well, it'll be a learning experience for everyone then who shows up to the cafe tonight at 7:30 in Sacramento. And you've read at the open mic there before. How would you characterize that reading series compared to others that you've been involved in or attended?
It has a very loyal group of followers, as many series do. And I think that the open mic produces some really high quality readers. There are a couple of different reading groups that attend in mass and read their work there, and it's always a pleasure.
That's great. Well, that is tonight. I often find out about these things via the email list and also on Facebook. but I'm sure that people can find the Shine Cafe, 14th and E Street in Sacramento tonight. Cynthia, when we return from this quick break, I'd like to talk to you about the sort of teaching that you do at California State University, Sacramento. And then if it's all right with you, we'd love to hear a sample from your new book.
That sounds great.
Excellent. Cynthia Linville, you've been teaching at Sac State since the year 2000, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And what sort of classes do you teach there?
I teach composition and critical thinking classes.
Excellent. And I know you've lived in lots of exciting places, including three places where I've lived, London, New York, and Washington, D.C. You've also spent some time in San Francisco. Did you know that you were going to come back to Sacramento? I know you were a native of the city originally.
No, I did not expect to come back to Sacramento.
And so what was it that brought you back?
Family brought me back.
That's great.
Eventually, the job at Sac State brought me back.
Tell me about some of the joys and challenges of teaching your Sac State students.
Well, I always think every fall when I have my early morning freshman classes, these students are experiencing college for the first time in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, that's really awe-inspiring because it's an exciting time for them. And it puts a lot of pressure on me to make it a good experience for them. So I always try to be mindful of that. And I always enjoy teaching those first-time freshmen in the fall semester.
That's great. And it must be challenging for you, as it is for many of us who teach at the university or who teach writing, as you and I do, to juggle all the hats that we have to wear, especially because, I've hosted many people on this radio show who have like tech jobs or executive jobs, and they come back and writing of poetry can be a radical change and a welcome change from their day-to-day life. But you and I, we're surrounded by words and grading and students the whole day long.
Yes, for me, the challenge is keeping poetry fun. So I keep that in mind in the way I write my own poetry and in the ways I revise my poetry. I try to make it never a chore. So unlike a lot of writers who say, okay, I'm going to write for an hour a day or 3 hours a week, or I'm going to revise every Saturday morning or something like that, I just keep a running notebook of fragments, pieces of poems, and I pick it up when I feel like it. And being involved in a writing group keeps me doing that regularly, so it doesn't get too dusty, but I'm also not saying, oh, no, I have to write some poetry now. It keeps it fresh for me.
Excellent. Cynthia Linville is my guest. She's a professor at Sacramento State University. She's a poet. She's a poetry host and enthusiast and editor, and now she is the author of a work of collected poems called The Lost Thing. That's from Cold River Press, and that is a 2012 publication. We want to hear a poem from that book, but Cynthia, could you remind us the best way to find or order The Lost Thing?
Sure. If you just type Cynthia Linville, The Lost Thing, into Google, the Cold River Press site will come up. It's coldriverpress.org. You can order that from Amazon, but of course the publisher doesn't get much money if you do that, so it's better if you order it directly from Cold River.
Great. And what's the poem that you'd like to share with us this afternoon?
This poem is a Linvillanelle, which is a form that I invented, and it riffs a little bit off the Villanelle, and my writing group combined it with my name to make the Linvillanelle.
That's cute.
And it was inspired by a visit to the Byung last October. And there's a reference in the poem to an engineered crack, and that, of course, is Andy Goldsworthy's piece out in front of the museum. I believe it was a Picasso exhibit at that time, so some of his paintings inspired this. So this poem is in three parts, and in each part, the same lines repeat, but in a different order with different punctuation. It's called, "It's Not That I Hate the Color Beige," or "That's Art."
Excellent. Let's hear it. Here's Cynthia Linville.
One white boot lying on the sidewalk. An engineered crack. The couple at the cafe table changes then changes again. People walk backwards, mirrored, then mirrored again. There's something about the way a circle shadows in a crescent, a boy chases a bird, a raw peach, fingers of rain. Women recline in splashes vivid, almost fluttering in every painting I love. Fever swim, sweet ache breathing. It's Tuesday. The moon is in Libra. It's Tuesday, mirrored, then mirrored again. A boy chases a bird in splashes vivid, sweet ache, breathing an engineered crack. People walk backwards in every painting I love. There's something about the way the couple at the cafe table changes and changes again. A circle shadows. In a crescent, almost fluttering, women recline. Fingers of rain, a raw peach, one white boot lying on the sidewalk. The moon is in Libra. Fever swim. Fever swim, almost fluttering, in splashes vivid. Mirrored fingers of rain, then changes again, then mirrored again. People walk backwards. There's something about the way it's Tuesday. Sweet ache, breathing in every painting I love. A circle shadows in a crescent. A boy chases a bird. Women recline. The couple at the cafe table changes. An engineered crack. A raw peach. One white boot lying on the sidewalk. The moon is in Libra.
That's very nice. I love the ways that the individual observations and images are juxtaposed in different ways, and therefore, obviously, allowing the listener or the reader to make new discoveries or to receive different messages from that particular poem. Could you tell us all the title one more time?
It's Not That I Hate the Color Beige, or That's Art.
That's great. I know that you've hosted events at the Crocker Art Museum in Sacramento as well. Do you find that that art comes up in your poetry from time to time?
Yes, I do go to a lot of exhibits, and I am often inspired to stop and take notes, and those notes often find their way into various poems.
I know you spent some time in Washington, D.C., as did I, and that's certainly an art mecca for our country. I'm wondering if any of the Smithsonian's museums, for example, appear in your poems.
No, I wasn't writing much poetry when I was in D.C., so most of my inspiration has been more recent than that.
And were you in London as a student?
Yes, I was, in the late 80s.
That's great. I was in London as a student in the late 80s, and that's where I met my wife. So I
wonderful.
Have fond memories of the place, obviously.
That's wonderful.
And we have time for one more poem. Is there another one from your new book, The Lost Thing, that you can share with us this afternoon?
Yes. This is Joshua Tree National Park.
Great.
I watch bees dance in the shade of this desert rock, where fingernails of the gods scratched blood-red lines, and I think about your scars. I would like to learn you by touch. I love the stillness here, a place quiet enough to hear each other's thoughts, but an obscure bird call teases us, a fragrance puzzles us, sage mixed with desert thyme. And all I can think about is the jalapeno slice you carefully quartered and placed on my tongue, one bite at a time. I want to climb inside your skin, curl up next to your heart, ride the slow wave of blood, rushing in, rising without crest. Somewhere, the future has already happened. I just don't remember it yet.
I like that last line. I guess we feel that way sometimes looking at our young 18 to 22-year-old students, where they're playing in the future, especially with all the time they spend wrestling with and immersed in technology. But I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So you're reading tonight at the Shine Cafe, 14th and E Street, Sacramento. I wanted to close by asking your group Poetica Erotica. That's certainly a fun and provocative name. Could you say something about that group and what is it like when you all perform together, if that's what you do?
Sure, and we are performing next Wednesday, the 18th, at 9 o'clock at the Queen of Sheba on Broadway. That's part of the Mahogany reading series.
Yeah, that's great reading series.
Yeah, we say we're ready to lace up our corsets and come steam up your windows. There are three or four of us that read together, and we read individual poems that are scripted to flow well into each other, and we also have some group poems where each of us reads a different part, and some of them that we've even written together.
So it sounds like some of your group works have a theatrical quality to them.
Yes, we're not quite a theater piece. We're still a poetry group, but we are aiming for the more theatrical.
Are there costumes?
Well, we have black corsets that we wear or various hats and frills and so forth. We change it up a little bit each time, but they're not exactly costumes.
And does your group have a website?
We don't have a website. We do have a Facebook page.
All right, good. So people can find that Poetica Erotica on Facebook. And how about you? Where does one find you on the web? Where do you like to recommend people go?
Well, fortunately, if you type my name into Google, Cynthia Linville, my teaching site is the first page that comes up. And I also have a linked page with all of my publications. I don't have a reading announcement list at this point, but I'm working on that.
All right, great. Well, Cynthia Linville, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the radio show. And I'm glad that you'll be joining us in September. I've been told the date of your reading. I hope that you've been told the date of your reading. But it's my understanding that it'll be September 6th.
That's correct.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
So am I. Thank you, Cynthia. And have fun tonight at the Shine Cafe at 14th and E Street, starting at 7:30, reading with Anna Sproul.